About the feast of Hanukkah last week. Today we're looking at another Jewish feast, Yom Kippur. Now this was a most solemn and yet most joyful feast for Israel. I spoke about three different feasts that Jesus visited when he went to the temple. Last week there was the Feast of Tabernacles, then the Feast of Dedication of the Temple, and then there was the Passover. He was active and present at each one of those. But this particular feast, the Day of Atonement, is the beginning of the first feast, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus came a little bit later to this feast and declared that he was the one that would give the living water. When you see the beautiful story of Jesus in this celebration of the sacrifice of the Day of Atonement, we just have to wonder at the way God has woven himself, Jesus, into these feast days, which were ceremonies, which still go on. This feast of the celebration of the Day of Atonement was the yearly blessing of a new beginning, so that the entire nation of Israel could enter into all the blessings of Abraham. They were cleansed from all iniquity in one day. It was a solemn feast because they had to prepare their hearts before this Day of Atonement when the special sacrifices were offered. And if there was ever to be a Jubilee year, or Sabbath year, it would be this Day of Atonement that started the new Israel that were cleansed to enter into that year. Can you imagine if you were part of Israel and things had been tough and the year of Jubilee was coming up and the Day of Atonement came and you knew that on that day when the sacrifices had been offered, that not only would all of Israel be cleansed from all guilt, all iniquities, all shame, all the things that they've done, they would even, if they were in debt, they would be taken out of debt. People would be allowed to be relieved from their debt. There were people in Israel that would indenture kind of servants. They're called slaves in the Bible, but they were servants. And there were ones that were able to have these people do their work for them. And they'd be indentured. They had to do what the master said. But in the Jubilee year, they were set free. Most of them wanted to go back again to the ones they served because it was a way of life and they were being well treated. But everybody was set free. It was freedom, freedom. And they could live like that. They could see themselves in the hands of a God who loved them and had set them free and had forgiven them totally. But the point is, for them, as it says in the Bible, there then came a remembrance of the sin, because it was only the blood of bulls and goats that did that. And it was not enough to give them that permanent sense of being right with God. They had to wait for another year to get that experience again. But that experience of being totally free, totally cleansed, totally cared for, brought together as a nation in the favour of God, that is our experience now in Jesus Christ every single day. That's why this feast is so remarkable. The message was so loud and clear. The headlines were there. The fine print was there. It just had to be seen for what it was. I'll read you the scripture from Leviticus chapter 16, verse 5. And it's talking about the high priest. This was Aaron that was the first one to do this. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and sacrifice it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited or separated land. The word land is world as well in the original language. The goat went off to another world, as it were, with all the sins upon it. One goat has to die. The other goat disappears. I wonder what that means. Verse 34, this shall be an everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. This feast is celebrated by Jewish folks, the Orthodox Jews, every year. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. They have the Yom, but they don't have the Kippur, because there's no more sacrifice. Just keep reading here. A ram was taken as a burnt offering sacrifice, just like the ram that was substituted for Isaac when Abraham had drawn the knife to offer up his only son. So there was a ram as a dedication offering, and then there were the two goats. So this ram is a burnt offering. That's different to a sin offering. A sin offering is something that's offered up and eaten by the people. A burnt offering is just burnt to cinders. That's for God. It is an offering of dedication to God and an offering of thanksgiving for all of his blessings. And it was a ram. Just as Abraham, or Abram, with Isaac on the mountain. And he has a knife in his hand. And he says, well, either God's going to have to provide a sacrifice, or, Lord, you're going to raise my boy from the dead, because I'm going to be obedient. And the angel stopped his hand, took away the knife, and provided a ram for the sacrifice, the dedication to God and an offering of thanksgiving. One goat was sacrificed for all the sins of the people, but the scapegoat, the atonement goat, disappears. That goat is unseen. Alive, as it were, from the sentence of death and bearing the atonement, the at-one-ment of God with his people. So shortly after Jesus was crucified, the temple was destroyed and the sacrifice of Yom Kippur ceased. Even though the feast day continued to be celebrated, they had the Yom, they still have the Yom, they have the day, but they don't have the sacrifices anymore. But they were told to do so. It'll be an everlasting covenant. You see, the Kippur part, the sacrifice of atonement, was under the law for Israel. So what is the Day of Atonement with no atonement? What is the Day of Atonement for Israel today if they don't know who that scapegoat was, the one that's gone to the other world, with whom we are seated, with whom we are seated in heavenly places? You think, well, but Jesus is a lamb. We can't call Jesus a goat. You've got to come down a layer or two into how this mystery unfolds. The Bible speaks in the book of Matthew about in the last days God gets the nations and he separates them into the sheep nations and the goat nations on the right hand and on the left. The sheep nations are the righteous nations. The goat nations are unrighteous. So the goat speaks of people that are not righteous. And here's the beauty of what Jesus has done. The New Covenant says that he took not only all of our sins on the cross, Jesus, and that was the first goat that was sacrificed on the Day of Atonement. That goat took all of our sins. The second goat took not only all of our sins, but all of our unrighteousness. New Covenant says, I will have mercy on your unrighteousness and your sins and your iniquities I will see no more. I'll remember no more. So then, we now are being made the righteousness of God in Christ. He has gone into his heavenly place as the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, when he came to preach Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world." He takes them somewhere. Where does it? How does this lamb take them away? Well, that goat is the one that takes all the sins away. Jesus presented himself to the Father in heaven, that unrighteousness of all the nations, of us, has become the righteousness of the Lamb. That's who we are. And God's very real, very down to earth. He says, I know that there was unrighteousness. Jesus said, I came into a world and took upon myself the challenge of that, of the temptation. I became one of you, one of the goats. And I got sacrificed as one of you. But not only that, I took everything, gave it to the Father. And you're cleansed forever. And not only are you seated with me, I'm within you now. There's no more need for every year to have a celebration. But Israel needs to have it. He said this will be an everlasting covenant. Why? Without the sacrifice. I believe it's a beautiful reminder. It's a record. God is on record with Israel. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a person, a Jewish person, seeking to understand what was this goat? And the revelation came that that was the one that took all the sins into another world for us. But there is no more need for sacrifices. But it's all been done. But it's for us to know that. That's why I like to look at these feasts from time to time, to see the message of Jesus and his full atonement in what's happening to Israel, in what happened to Israel. Everything that happened in the Old Testament to Israel is a message to the church. It's a message to Israel for a start. It's a message to the church, and it's a message to you and me individually. We are now celebrating Jubilee. Everything's been forgiven. We're free. But this meant when the sacrifice was taken away after Jesus died, the temple was destroyed, there's no more sacrifice. And it says in Hebrews, it meant that the blessings also ceased. All of those Old Testament blessings that you read about in Deuteronomy, the curses and the blessings, they don't exist anymore. Those of the Old Covenant, because the cause of the blessings had changed. Can anybody tell me what was the cause? If you were going to get blessed as a good Jew, if you're going to get the blessings of God, what was the cause of getting the blessings? It would have been obeying the law and offering the sacrifices. That's the only way you could get blessed. That was ordained. That was it. Obedience to the law and sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 8, it says, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you don't desire nor have any pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. That's gone. So if the cause of the blessings has changed, are there any blessings left? Even the Jubilee year blessings couldn't be celebrated until Yom Kippur was properly completed back in those old days. And I believe Israel will have their Yom Kippur in time to come. It'll be separated, it'll be celebrated, and all Israel will be saved. That's another thing, that's prophetic. So God has set it in the record for them to continue to do that. But for us, it's to continue to remember the magnificent work of atonement that's been done for us and the freedom. But what about the blessings? Well, the cause of the blessings has changed. The cause of the blessings is Jesus, the love of the Father, sending his Son. When Jesus on the cross said, it is finished, he said, it's all over, we've got a new beginning, there are new blessings coming, there's a new cause, it's not obedience to the law or offering sacrifices, it is believing in me. It is trusting that I've taken them. He takes away the sins of the world. Where did they go? Well, figuratively, they were on that scapegoat that went off into another world. That's where they went. And you can't say, oh, well, no, I've got to go back and revisit and make up for my sins. He's made up for them. We just give thanks and we live in that right standing with God that he's purchased for us. Jesus said, it's finished. He became both the sacrificial goat and our atonement scapegoat with a once for all and forever sacrifice and obedience to his Father. He fulfilled the law, not only for Israel, but for all of us. So what do we do about the law? Well, we're not under the law, but do we fulfill the law? Certainly we do. The Bible says that now, because we're living in the spirit of the law of Christ Jesus, we fulfill the just requirements of the law in the spirit of Christ Jesus. Not in our own strength, but because he is within us. Reorienting our heart with a dedication, that's the ram that we offer to him now. I thought you said there's no sacrifices. Well, yeah, there are. I'm getting to that. But we offer him that dedication. And something happens in our hearts. We are distanced from that tormenting magnetism, an attraction towards what our selfish desires want, and released into a desire to please the Father through Jesus in faith. So the true atonement has come through Jesus, and a new set of blessings have been set in place for all who believe. We share new life with him as our scapegoat, alive from the sentence of death. The kingdom of God then came to dwell within us, and the blessings of the kingdom are now accessible through our faith. A new set of blessings, and they're better than the old blessings. They contain everything. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So the blessings of the old covenant have been replaced by the spiritual blessings of the new covenant. And the new covenant, the New Testament, is just full of the love and the blessings of God. Do you know what we get is just by abiding in the vine? We get the fruit, the spirit of the vine, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the patience, the kindness, the faithfulness, all of these things, the temperance, the not the willpower, but the ability to be willing rather than willful. That's what temperance is. I'm willing to do it your way. I'm not willfully wanting to do it my way. What's happened to my will? Have you overridden my will? No, I've just pulled you closer in your heart to me. And there's something happening in you, brimming up, that's a willingness, not a willfulness. That's self-control, it's called. And that just happens because you're getting closer and closer. That's a blessing. That would get you out of a lot of trouble. That would save you a lot of grief, having a willing heart instead of a willful heart. So that's the fruit of the Spirit. They're all blessings. Then there's the gifts of the Spirit. The wisdom, the knowledge, the faith, the healing, the prophecy, the discernment, the miracles. Then there's the communication in speaking in a spiritual language to the Lord, an interpretation of what he's saying in a mystical way to us. All of these are spiritual blessings that did not exist in the book of Deuteronomy. There were some great blessings, and a lot of Christians want them back again. The cause for the blessings has been taken away, the law and the sacrifices. A new cause for blessings has come, which is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and us in him. And that's what the Day of Atonement means. And that's our life, and that's our faith. That's our expectation and our hope. But it's hidden down there in that life of faith. What about those sacrifices? No more sacrifices? Or didn't I say that all the sacrifices ceased? Yeah, hang on, there are still sacrifices. but they called spiritual sacrifices. 1 Peter 2 verse 5, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And you don't need animals or bulls or goats or rams to do it. In fact, it's like we become the ram. As far as I can see, a little bit of typology in here is that ram was not a sin offering. It was a burnt offering, a dedication offering, a thanksgiving offering. In Romans chapter 12, here's a spiritual sacrifice for us. This is what I mean by spiritual sacrifice. You also, or rather, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, or which is your spiritual worship, one version says. If you look at the actual real meaning in the Greek, which says, which is your logical way of sharing life with God, your logical way of worshiping him. You just present yourself. That's the ram. Just say, here I am. I'm imperfect. And then God will say, if you do this, I will reveal to you what is the perfect, good and acceptable will of my Father by the Spirit. You'll know, you'll be on track. That's the next verse here. You do that, just offer yourself as a sacrifice, say, this day is yours, Lord. I'm not quite sure what it's all going to mean, but Holy Spirit, help me to be listening and to make the decisions and to be guided. And there will come that way that Holy Spirit gets this sort of coincidence to happen and that person to say this thing and you to be prompted to do that thing and the will of the Lord gets done. Wow. That's a spiritual sacrifice. Here's another one. Philippians 4:17. Paul's writing to the Philippians who had been giving to him of the material goods because he was going through tough times and he wanted to help the other churches as well. This is all about giving and receiving. And he said to them, he just thanked them that you gave, he said, you gave to me time and time again. He said, not that I'm seeking the gift. I didn't come to you and say, look, I just got to have your money. But he said, I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. That was his heart for the people that were giving. He wasn't putting them under the law. In fact, he said, I'm not going to make you give money. He said, it's totally up to you. But he said, because they weren't under the law. But he said, I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I'm full. Having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And then here comes a scripture that's often quoted without the first part that I've just read. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's where that scripture has some bite and some meaning. It comes from people who have already decided to be part of the flow of giving and receiving and letting fruit abound. And here comes the blessing and the sacrifice, but it's a spiritual thing and it's a material thing. So you see, Jesus outdoes the law every time. And then Hebrews 13 verse 15. Through him, let us then continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. And that's the thanksgiving. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. There are spiritual sacrifices. And they're just kind of normal, ordinary things, but it's what's in the heart. What's causing you to be moved to do that act of generosity, that act of giving? It's not like the Old Testament, oh, well, I've obeyed the law, well, now I'll get my reward. No, Lord, this is it. It's you. God says, well, let me surprise you. Let me surprise you. These kingdom spiritual blessings are actually followed by material blessings anyway. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, so if I've left any blessings out, or if I've kind of somehow negated some of the tempting blessings that people would like to have from the Old Testament, then what about this one, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, that means the unbelievers. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and that's that indwelling, that's the scapegoat that's become the lamb that's taken away the sins. That's dwelling with us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in alignment with him, and all these things will be added to you. All means all, and I don't think I can top that word for the blessings of God. So we give thanks today, amen, for the Feast of Atonement, for the fulfillment for us of that feast. And we pray that God will reveal that to his people that still offer and celebrate Yom Kippur every year. Let's pray that they'll get a revelation, amen, of what Jesus has done. Amen.